All right, thank you. Thank you, thank you. So good. Good job, Masson. And everybody else, way to go. We are going to be in Acts chapter 6. If you want to turn to Acts chapter 6 today, we're going to be verses 1 through 7. We're talking about deacons today. And I learned a lot with getting ready for this sermon. So I love it when I learn things. It's fun to. And so it's something else too, you know. If you're like me and you've been in the church your whole life, you know, a lot of times we've got to step back and read the Bible for the first time again. Because we get filled with all kinds of stuff we think we know, and come to find out we don't know. It amazes me how many times I've read the Bible. A passage I've read a million times, I was like, that wasn't there last time I read that. I know it wasn't. But it keeps on giving. If you've got a heart that's open and you just want God. Listen, guys, I'm telling you, I don't care to be right. In fact, most of my life I've been wrong. So I'm glad that I'm that way. Because I'm not right very often, it seems like. Seems like I'm wrong about everything. And I don't really care about it anymore. I just want to know the truth. I don't care what it looks like. Just tell me the truth. I want to follow the truth. I don't care if I'm right or not. This isn't an ego thing. It's not what I think. I found out what Paul thinks doesn't matter, and most of the time it's all twisted up and contorted, and it's all confused and messed up and manipulated. So I'm like, I don't want to know what I know. I want God, you tell me the truth. We'll go with that. And God will, because he's the spirit of truth. So, but for us that have been in church all our lives, that means we got to step away from a lot of stuff in order to read it for the first time. Because it's isn't the first time. We've read it a bunch of times. And we've developed some things. We think we know some stuff. And many times, as far as the scripture goes and everything I've read in the history of God's people, it's the very thing they think they know that blocks them from what God wants to do. And that's the process of being a human. God's shaking it off and saying, oh, trust me, it's all right, it's okay, I'm right here. We're going to go over here, we're going to do something new. Hadn't done before, it's all right. He's a God who does things new. He just does. He does new things. I guess he gets bored of being almighty and all-powerful, so he just messes with our life, and that makes it fun for him. Just shake things up. Just watch them. They just freak out. You can see Jesus up there laughing about that. Oh, but it's not funny when you're a human. I know. I'm one of those. So Acts chapter 6, we're going to talk about deacons, and why I started out with all that, because you know what? Come to find out, this is the point in the Bible where this whole subject was brought forth, this thing about being a deacon. But the word deacon isn't even in the passage I'm going to read. It's not even there. It's the word diakonos in the Greek is in 6:2, where it's talking about serving, but that's all it's talking about, serving tables. It doesn't say anything about deacons. So it's really interesting, kind of the things that I felt like were happening and things that God has done and what he's continuing to do. And as long as you're open and say, okay, God, I just want things to work. That's what I want, you to be glorified. I want you to show up. That's what I want. I don't care about all this other stuff. If you'll just show up, just show me how we can get you to show up by just aligning with the truth and then desiring you more than anything else. Because he's attracted to that, I'm finding, as I read in the Bible. So we'll start out here with verse 1. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Okay, let's stop right there. Talk about this. First of all, this is a good problem to have. Growing pains. But the more humans you get to congregate around one thing, the more problems you're going to have. That's just the way that it goes. But it's a good problem to have, this conflict. That's just what happens. When you get enough people together, we're going to rub each other the wrong way. We're not going to know what to do exactly. We need direction. So this is, so think of it this way. The church has just been given birth to at Pentecost. Peter preaches the first message. God's power is all over it. Now there's 3,000 of them, all just like that. 3,000 people have been added. That's a lot of people who don't know anything about anything other than God is here, and I want God, and I'm saying yes to God. I surrender to God. So this is a big, this is a lot of people, and what happens when you begin to have people is you've got to have some kind of direction or leadership. So church polity is kind of giving birth to as it's needed. Does that make sense? Now, we know we already got the original 12 who were called apostles, or the 11, and then they voted on another one. And you had the 120 that were in the upper room. We know they got hammered by the Spirit as well. All of those guys were in there, and the leadership was the apostles, which, as we read on into the New Testament, the apostles would equal an elder or an overseer, a leader of the church, and there's 12 of them. But now they've run into a point here where they're needing a little bit more church polity. And so that it kind of emerges as needed because the people need structures and methods of governance to have a sense of order. You know, God is he's a God of order. He's not a God of chaos. And we can get into chaos real fast. And so we got to have some kind of an order. But here's the problem with it. Well, let me get to that in a minute. Okay, now I want to remind us of this also. Jesus himself is the great shepherd of the sheep, and he's present through the Holy Spirit. So he's there. He is the ultimate. Okay, he's the great shepherd. He's the head of the church, and he's present. And you got to deal with the head at some point because he's real. He's not a make-believe something. He is a living God who has qualities and characteristics and desires and wants, and he's ready to explain those things to us as well. So he's present, and you have to be making much of that. So Jesus is there, and he's already got this heartbeat, this spirit. The spirit of the Godhead is this servant-hearted love, this self-sacrificial love is probably the core of the whole thing. So in other words, when you step into this new thing, you get born again by this incorruptible spirit and word, now you're immediately in this servant-hearted love, this self-sacrificial love. That's what God is. God is love, and he's self-sacrificial love. He's agapeo love. So he's a certain quality of love that's not human. So you're stepping into something divine. And Jesus lived this way. He ruled with the heart of a servant, and he served with the heart of a king. Now, that's a divine thing, that nuance there. And that's what all of us are called into, regardless of what title you've got or position you hold, or you're at the top or the bottom. It's all the same. Everybody lives by that spirit if you're born into the Spirit of Christ. So at the end of the day, God's power is greater than any other power, and he rules with it. And even in death, y'all know this, Jesus laid his life down unto death, but the Spirit came behind him and vindicated everything he did. Stamped the stamp of approval. God's Spirit and power is just greater than everything else. He doesn't even have to try. He just is. So if we just follow him and act like him, he wins. Even if he leads you to death, he wins. As we find in this New Testament period here. So all we got to do is follow the Spirit of God. So here's the issue with the early church. They're trying to figure out how can we continue to follow this great shepherd, Jesus Christ, who is present, who is real, who is the leader, and how can we not get in the way of him? At the same time, lead. So they're in a pickle here, because what they're trying to do is there's got to be some kind of leadership going on here, because if there's not, there's going to be chaos. But there can't be too much, because we humans love titles and positions and stuff like that. And what we do is you give us a title and a thing and a deal, and I'm going to take my thing and my deal and my title over here, and we like to leave the Holy Spirit outside. And we already know that just doesn't work, folks. I mean, that gets boring and old fast. And then you get stuck in all that stuff and you can't get out of it. So they're in this, I thought about the old, what's the story where the little girl's gone into the bear's house and she's got everybody, Goldilocks. Yeah, she's eating everybody's porridge and, you know, she's finding the one that's just right. I don't know why I thought of that, but as it goes to this early church, but that's what they're trying to do. They're like, not too much leadership, not too little leadership, just enough leadership so that the great shepherd is shining through because he's the guy that gets everything done. Now, we got Peter here. We talked about him last week. These guys are led by the Spirit. And something I thought about again, one of my favorite movies from back in the day, Braveheart. William Wallace is Mel Gibson's character, and he's talking to Robert the Bruce about the nobles. Robert the Bruce is saying, we need the nobles. And William Wallace says, nobles? What does it mean to be a noble? He said, men don't follow titles, they follow courage. And so this is what the Holy Spirit did to men like Peter. They were so surrendered to the great shepherd that, like I said last week, at one point Peter was healing people with his shadow. It wasn't his shadow, it was the shadow of the great shepherd that was overshadowing him. He just was under it. He was under the shadow of the Almighty at all times. And powerful things were happening in and around them because of that. So here's the thing, guys. All we got to do is figure out how to get under this shadow and let it do it again. He's here to do it again. So Peter was a man of courage. Peter was a man full of the Spirit of God, bold and courageous. And the apostles were given these titles. But ultimately, guys, the reason people followed them is because the clear character of God and the power of God was on these men of courage and boldness. You couldn't stop them. They were like, I'm going with God. I don't know about you, but this is what I'm going to do. And y'all remember from last week, we talked about how Peter followed Jesus on both sides of the cross. So he knew what it was to lead without the Spirit, but then he also knew what it was to lead on this side of the cross, full of the Spirit. And remember that last week we were talking about that journey that he had was profound for him. It shaped him. It made him an incredible servant of all. And Peter had a unique journey. His journey of spiritual formation was very unique. None of us can say that we have anything like it because it was Jesus himself that filled Peter with Spirit words. Y'all remember that in John 15? John says, you guys are already clean. I've been filling you guys up for 3.5 years. Now, you don't have a clue about what's going on yet because you don't have the Spirit, but I have filled you with my words. So when my Spirit comes, that's just more material to burn. And so God just set them on fire. Jesus had himself clean. He used the word clean there. It's a Greek word, but it just means he filled them with his teachings. So they were full of it. And then we know what Peter did. We talked about that last week. He stabs Jesus in the back, cusses, and says, I don't know the guy. Just awful low point for that poor guy. He just gets sifted by the enemy. Any of us guys can be sifted by the enemy. Just get away from the grace of God. It'll come. It's a real thing. It is a humbler. And there is no man that the enemy cannot sift. It's just the grace of God that keeps that from being done every day, all day. So he goes through it, man. I feel for Peter. He got sifted. So then Jesus, you know, in John 21, reinstates Peter to care for the sheep. In other words, just like I did, Peter, lay your life down for these sheep. That's what I'm looking for you, buddy. You stay in that spirit, and my spirit will overshadow you, and some awesome things are going to happen through your life. Now, Peter continued to struggle with this, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit, because he was a human, and you know, that's what we are. We're humans, and we struggle. But God was with him. So then Pentecost comes, and Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. And then that Holy Spirit, you know, catches all that word on fire. And so here he goes, filled with the word and the spirit, that first sermon, 3,000 people get it. Coming out of Peter's mouth, it was that utterance. He was full of the word. He quotes the Bible several times in that first sermon. He was full of the word and now filled with the spirit. That's what it takes, evidently. So now the uniqueness of the way is what this Jesus following was called at the time. These are the uniquenesses. It's the spirit and the power of the great shepherd who's present. And they were following the spirit as they followed that great shepherd, the sheep. So following the spirit and the word, or the teachings of the apostles, who were also called elders, because apostles are leaders, and that's what the word elder is, an overseer. So you got the 12 elders and the early church. And this thing is coming hard and fast. Now here's what set these guys apart. Firstly, it was performing signs and wonders. These were happening all over the place. There was a union and the spirit of unity, or sharing. In other words, they were selling everything they had and giving the money to the apostles, and everybody was in this spirit of unity. It was pretty intense. They worshiped daily. They met in the temple and worshiped, and they met in homes and worshiped. They broke bread together. They had the Lord's Supper. They focused on Jesus and the gospel. As well as this, guys, and I don't want us to forget this because this is so big. They had to break with the traditions of the sacrificial system and the following of the law of Moses to follow this great shepherd of the sheep. Now, I just want to, there's no way we can fully understand how big a deal that was, or how difficult that was for them, their entire lives being told that we do it this way. And then God showing up and saying, no, you can stop doing that, do this instead. It rocked their worlds. And that is the issue that continued to become a problem. So this breaking with tradition was a really big deal. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more. And it created all kinds of conflict within the newly formed church, and persecution. It was a big issue of dividing and quenching the spirit. However, they managed to overcome a great deal of it, if not all of it, because they just continued to grow. So they got this early church going on. Now the enemy begins to attack. Okay, and I'm building up to this portion of scripture here, so you just follow me here for a little while. First, he attacks in Acts 4, 1 through 31, and Acts 5, 17 through 41, just with outright persecution. Y'all remember that? The apostles were picked up and, you know, threatened and imprisoned and beaten and all those types of things. So the enemy shows up first just to persecute. Okay, but that didn't work. It made it worse. The apostles loved it, evidently. They were like, oh my goodness, we're worthy enough to get beaten for Jesus. Glory to God. Somehow that made them happy. And that just made it worse. You like ruffled them up a little bit, and now they're spreading even worse. So that didn't work at all. They just got more bold and courageous. Peter now on this side of the cross, Peter gets to use the Spirit of God to back up his big talk now. He's like, I'll die for this. And he was. He would. And he does. So he's got the Holy Spirit coming through him now with his bravado. But he's sold out for it. He's ready to die for it. So the result of that first attack was the church just grew more in Acts 4:4, and that's up to 5,000. That's some pretty good growth. Then second, the enemy attacks again with just sin in the camp. Y'all remember in Acts 5, that's Ananias and Sapphira. You know, they come and lie to the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter and the Spirit nip that in the bud like immediately. That goes nowhere. And so then the newly purified church grew even more. That's in Acts 5:14. And at that point, they stopped giving numbers. They're just like, it just keeps growing. They just lost count. So these early apostles or disciples had found the pearl of great price. Y'all remember that parable that Jesus talked about, the pearl of great price? They'd find in the field and then sell everything to get this thing. They'd found it, and they're ready to sell it all I'll follow this to the ends of the earth. If I can just keep it, I'll do anything. I'll give up everything. I got everything with this pearl of great price. Jesus, my Savior, the great shepherd of the sheep, is with me and in me and through me. The greatest thing I could ever imagine happening has happened, and I've got it. Glory to God. They were filled with it, guys. I mean, ready to just burn with it, and they did. It's just exciting. What they had done, in John 16:33, Jesus talks about this. He talks about this overcoming spirit, and he promises. He said, hey, guys, in this world, you're going to have some problems. But it's okay. Take cheer, because I've already overcome all of it. So as you have these problems, just get into me, and you'll come right up to the top, because I've already overcome it. So get into that overcoming spirit. And they were good at getting into that overcoming spirit pretty fast. It's like you attack them and they manage to zip right to the top. It's like that beach ball, you know, you got in the pool, you're trying to get that thing underwater and it slips and fires up. It's going to find the surface because it's God. And there's nothing like it. There's no power that can hold it down. It's going to find the surface. And he's saying, you just got to make those adjustments and get back into me. Let go of whatever it is you got yourself messed up over and get back into me, get back into my words and into my spirit, and zoop, we're going to the top. You will be a witness for me. And that's what's happening. That's happening pretty big. So here's the third attack. This is chapter 6 here. The third attack, the enemy attacks again, this time with dissension. Okay, now dissension is disagreement that leads to discord. Does that sound familiar? These issues were the issues that plagued the early church more than anything and hurt the early church more than anything else. Now, a lot of that dissension led to martyrdom back then. I mean, it wasn't a joke. It wasn't, I don't like you anymore, I'm going to go to another church. It was, you're going to die for this. However, again, martyrdom is a pretty big deal. Jesus wins in the long run with that one, because because the Spirit just vindicates the death, and now God's everywhere. God's all over everybody now. So that doesn't really work. But it's that subtle disunity that really gets in there and begins to work, and the enemy loves it. He just loves it, loves to work at it. And he'll speak to it, and he'll breathe fire on it, and he can just mess everything up. Isn't that terrible? Do y'all want anything to do with that? I don't. I don't want anything to do with that. I want God to pour out over us and over the city, over the world. Don't want anything to do with it. So dissension. Now this is particularly dissension over traditions, okay? Their history was the number one thing that took them out of unity and union all throughout the book of Acts here. So in this case, they did beat it in this case in chapter 6. However, the rest of the book of Acts is about these new creations in Christ struggling so hard to let go of what they had known all their lives. And because us humans, we're so attracted to Jesus plus some traditions. I mean, we love them. Gotta have this, gotta have that. That's right. That God likes that. I know he likes that better than anything else. We'll do. No, it's your tradition. So in this case, we're talking about the Hellenistic Jews were being left out of the distribution of God. Now, let me explain this. Let me take a little bit of time, because this actually is important, because it's so human. Okay, now the Hellenistic Jews were Jews that had shown up at the Passover from different places, because remember, they all traveled there during the Passover, and that's when the Holy Spirit fell, and Jesus, and they're speaking in tongues, and they're doing all this stuff, and Peter preaches that message, and 3,000 of them get saved. A lot of those people were not from in town. They were out-of-towners, but they got so rocked, they stayed. They're like, I ain't going nowhere. I live 100 miles from here, but I live here now because of what's happened to me. Wouldn't that be wild that your life gets redirected that radically? Because you heard a sermon, and a spirit got on you? It's changed everything. There was a lot of people like that who were coming from other places. They weren't from Jerusalem, but because this happened there, they stayed. Okay? Now, they were called Hellenistic because they spoke Greek. Now, this goes back into history a little bit, and it's important. I love this stuff, but this is really important too. Not only do I love it, but it's important. Y'all remember Alexander the Great, 330 BC, conquered the whole Middle East. His entire desire was to Hellenize the entire Middle East. That's what he did it. He did a good job of it. Okay? Now, he died early, and then it was split up into six different kingdoms in the Seleucid Kingdom. And about 167 BC, Antiochus of Epiphanes, who is one of those Seleucid leaders who was over Jerusalem, he decides he's going to sacrifice a pig on the altar. And the Jews didn't like that. And he put Zeus in the temple. And I was reading that today, and I was like, yeah, but I just remember like 300 years ago, they had prostitutes in there. Isn't that weird how you're up and you're down, and you're up and you're down? Now we really care. We had prostitutes in there 300 years ago, but now we care to get Zeus out of here ready to die for it. Isn't that wild how we're up and we're down, and we're up and we're down as humans? Just wanted to throw that in there. Because if you don't watch, you'll be up or you're down, or you're up or you're down. Jesus is just stays the same. So Antiochus of Epiphanes does this, and it sparks the Maccabean revolt. Y'all heard of that in history, maybe? And they kick them out. They run them out. Militarily, they run them out of Israel. It was a big deal. I won't get into all the details of that, but what I found out was out of that Maccabean revolt, that's where the Pharisees came from. They started out of that because they wanted to keep Jerusalem seriously Mosaic. And they were serious about it. And so they started this club called the Pharisees, sort of. And that's where that started from. So they were like strictly Jewish types. Like, we got to do it this way. No. Just like this. And they were deadly serious about it. Like, they'll kill somebody over this stuff. And so that was the influencing force when Jesus was alive. We know he talked about him quite, the Pharisees quite a bit. So the Hellenists were the people who had kind of been, you know, they were kind of viewed as the Jews that strayed enough to speak Greek instead of stick with the Jewish language, you know. So, and that they lived in other places. So the only reason they're in Jerusalem is because they came for the Passover and got hammered by the Spirit. Now they're living there, but they speak Greek when the native Jews, they were kind of influenced by the Pharisees more. Strictly, no, that's bad. So it was all that type of, can you imagine the dissension that was going on there? I don't like that guy. He speaks Greek. Something wrong with him. Clearly. God hates it. Those Greek speakers. And we're all the same. You know, it's just the same old stuff we get into. This is the type of thing that was going on, though. And so as you can tell, as the church is growing so fast, they're getting left out of the distribution of whatnot. And so that's where this whole thing comes up with. Okay? I got to get past some of this stuff, guys. I'm sorry. I'm so long-winded. All right. So these are the traditions that we're doing. Guys, let me say this about us. You know, the issue of elders or elder, I don't care. You know what? I don't care. I don't care to be right. I want to know the truth. My thing is, God, what's going to work? What do you say? I don't care. You know this thing about contemporary worship or singing from the hymn book? I don't care. I like them both. I could care less. I do not understand someone drawing the line in the sand over that stupidity. But people do it all the time. You know this tie or a golf shirt? I don't care. I seriously don't care. If I could wear a tie and it would make people come to know the Lord and love others, I'll wear a tie every day. It doesn't matter to me. I could care less. But I'll do it. If I can make somebody happy, I'll wear a tie. Having Sunday school or having a small group, I don't care. It's a group of people who are talking together. I don't care. But you know, somehow our souls get so wrapped up in the stupidest things and miss the entire boat. Let's let the world go to hell while I have my way at church. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Listen, guys, I don't care. I'll do it either way. But everybody doesn't get their way. And that's why we got to follow the great shepherd of the sheep who has his way. And he'll tell you the way. And then you just do it in love, for crying out loud. You got to let this stuff go. Get off of this junk, this mess. It's the same stuff from all the way back. It just doesn't, it doesn't do it for you guys. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is way better. He will fill you in places that no tradition could ever fill you. I'm afraid some of you just decided there isn't any more of them going around. You just quit. It's just your traditions are good enough. I'll die in the desert with this, my good enough traditions. Good night. I'm telling you, God wants to show up and show out for this nation again. And he's got to use his people to do it. So let's wake up and be those people. Listen, I'm saying everything, all of this, guys, in love. I do get frustrated, and I pray, God, please don't let me be too human. I love you, and I want you to be glorified. Help us, Lord. Shake us out of this. I know Peter was the same way. Y'all know he had to go through that with God had to take him. Remember in Acts chapter 10? The Holy Spirit had to go out of his way to shake little Peter off of his past so he could follow him into his future. And he's so good to do that. Guys, please let God be good enough to lead us. And just take a step back from everything. And let's together cry out to him, God, would you be clear for us? You know how we are. You know how weak and pitiful we can be. You know how afraid we are. God, you know. Jesus, you're greater than all of that. Lead us above it. Lead us out of it. Lead us into you. Please show us the way, Father. That's my heart. That's what I've prayed all week about. God, please don't leave us. Don't leave us where we're at. Please, Father, there's too much on the line. There's too many people that don't know you. They don't know how good you are. They're suffering. There's too much on the line to fail at this. Now, this is what they finished up. I'm already out of time here, so I've got to... You know, I started with a whole other sermon. It was all about Stephen, and I got done with it, and I was like, I didn't even say anything about deacons. I can't do that. So this is my second message. You got to watch out, though, because chapter 7 comes, and I could do my whole second message here. That's a whole other hour. I'm kidding. All right, verse 3 here, this is what they do. First, they see there's a problem. It's a real problem. We got to deal with it. The 12 elders call a church meeting. Now, in the meeting, they decide this. They say, hey, we've got to give ourselves to the word and prayer. That's what we're going to do. Nothing's changing that. So we got to come up with some other people who can take care of this issue. So let's get 7 men who are good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom. Set them over this. They will serve. They will take care of this issue. We'll stick with prayer and the word and teaching, and everything's going to work out just great. And that's what they did. Verse 4, the apostles said, hey, we're going to keep on doing our thing. Verse 5, they chose Stephen, who is full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas. I think I'm saying them right. Then they laid hands on them in verse 6 and set them apart to do this work. Now, here's an interesting thing. All of these names were Hellenistic names. So they selected people, probably out-of-towners, who were there with their people and say, hey, you guys are the guys that are to take care of all the... We're talking about a... Listen, guys, the 5,000 part was just men. We're talking about a church that's probably upwards of 20,000 people. This is a massive undertaking. That's a lot of money being collected. That's a lot of food to be buying. It was a big deal. So they got these guys up to do this one job, and they set them loose, and they did it. They were all Hellenists, so they were out of town taking care of their people, and it worked. The church rose above the division this time, and verse 7 tells us that they're just back to growth again. And then it heads straight into Stephen, who gets himself into a mess. And this is the thing. If Stephen was, I'm going to finish with this. If Stephen was a deacon in chapter 6, He didn't stay a deacon long. Or here's the issue. Men don't follow titles, they follow courage. Stephen's like, I don't care what you tell me. I don't care what you call me. I'm full of God. You couldn't keep him away from the word. If the elders said, hey, we're going to stick to the word and prayer, Stephen was over there listening going, I'm going to serve and stick to the word and prayer too. I'm going to want all of it. He turned directly into an evangelist in the next chapter. And it talks about it. It gets down here in verse 10. It's talking about that he's in arguing with them. They couldn't even resist. They couldn't resist the wisdom of the Spirit coming out of this guy. He was so full of God. They couldn't deal with him. I mean, I read that and I'm like, oh God, I want some of that. God, please show me. How do you get that? How do you get that where you're in the middle of a disagreement and of something going down and your face starts shining like an angel? God, I want some of that. Can I get some of that? That'd be really helpful in a debate. God Almighty shows up on your face. That's Moses stuff. I mean, that is wild. That means Peter had given himself to this. I mean, Stephen, Peter too, but Stephen had given himself to this. And with the title of deacon, it didn't matter. He was going to do more than deek. He was going to preach too. You can't stop him at deek. He's going to go on beyond that because why? He's full of the Spirit. I want all of it I can get. And so as I was studying out this, you know, deacons, that word diakonos is used like 29 times in the New Testament, but most of those times it's just talking about service. We're all called to service. It should be hard to know what a deacon is in a New Testament church because everybody's supposed to be serving. I think it was hard for them to distinguish the title deacon or this office because everybody's serving. How do we know the ones that are deacons and the ones that are? It's just a title. People are following courage and action and love. And leadership in those forms, that's what we need, right? We don't need a bunch of titles. We don't need a bunch of stuff. We don't need to convolute the great shepherd as he's getting to the sheep and changing lives. We would just want to want him more than anything else and get full of him. You can get into the great shepherd. I don't care who you are in this room. You can get into him as much as you want. Nothing is stopping you. And you don't need a title for it. I know tons of guys that don't have the title deacon, and they're incredible deacons. Right? However, there are things that we can do that make logical sense so that a church polity is not too much and not too little, but just right. And the Lord can lead us to that, can he? I mean, he still speaks, right? We still got the Bible. It's right here. Gosh, let me stir you guys up to get into the Word. I wish I could go on into that second message with Stephen because he rocked me this week. He rocked me way worse than chapter 6. And it's just about what is available, the Word of God, the incorruptible seed. You can get full of it. You can fix your eyes on Jesus so much. Stephen's eyes were fixed on Jesus so much that when they were stoning him, he saw heaven open and Jesus standing at the right hand of God in approval. We can do that right now. Hebrews 12:2 says, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. Stephen literally watched the finisher of his faith finish his story. Changed the world. Because in chapter 8, verse 1, who was there? They were laying down the coats at a guy named Saul. See, that martyrdom got on him. That martyrdom got on him. The vindication of the Spirit came rushing in after it. Gets on this guy. Oh no, now the devil's in trouble. This guy is a zealot. As soon as he gets flipped, it's over. He's going to change the world. And he did. Guys, it's the same God. It's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same Word. It's the same process of getting into the Great Shepherd. My message is, let's get in to the great shepherd. Nothing else matters. As our team comes, Joey, come on up. Father, we just thank you so much for who you are. God, you're so good. You're just so good. It's amazing to me. And Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts to desire you more and more and more, that we would desire to get filled with your words. And let that Spirit and the Word mix together and let the power of it come out and be a representative of you, O great Shepherd of the sheep.
because you're present here. Lord, I pray over my brothers and sisters. Oh, great shepherd of the sheep, would you speak to us? Father, would you help us to lay everything down, to understand we got the great pearl of great price, that we'd be ready to sell anything for it. We'll give up anything to keep it, to have it, and to spread it. God, give us that heart. That is your spirit in your people. And I pray that over your flock here at Tennessee Avenue. Just pray your blessing over them. Father, I love them like you love them. I pray your love would pour out over all of us because we need you so much. And we just thank you, Father, for your goodness. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, guys, if you would stand, this is our hymn of invitation here. If you'd like to make any type of a decision for the Lord, if you'd like prayer, if you'd like to join, if you'd like to know Christ Jesus, we'd love to. Leading us in worship.
There is a fountain filled with blood from Calvary's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood.
I love that song. I can just keep singing that. Good stuff. Hey, you guys are blessed. Stay under the blessing. Okay? That's part of it. You got to stay under the blessing. So I say at my table when I eat every night, I'm like, kids, please get under the blessing of God. Stay under it so we can get along. The blessing of God will help you get along because he loves us more than we love each other. Let him love through you, everybody you see today. God bless you guys. Deacons, Jimmy's going to be here at 4:45 to do some praying and preparing. If you want to join him, that'd be great. Deacons, we got a meeting at 4:30. You guys have a great afternoon. See you tonight.